The pandemic has taken a heavy toll on students and their families, and that's especially true at the state's community colleges. Enrollment plummeted last fall to a 23-year low, and the steepest drop was among Black and Latinx students. Joining us to discuss what that means for the Commonwealth is Carlos Santiago, Massachusetts Commissioner of Higher Education. Commissioner Santiago, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Callum.
So just how hard has the pandemic hit the state's 15 community colleges?
It's hit them quite hard. Let me just go a little bit through the history. About less than a year ago, we started to see signs that this was going to occur as a form called the FAFSA form, which is a federal application really for financial aid and for loans. And that's a leading indicator of whether a student is going to college. It's unlikely, you know, that they would go to college if they don't fill out the form. And we saw significant declines when the compared to previous years when the COVID hit. And that was, we then looked at the enrollment data in October. We did some things to try to minimize that by extending deadlines, things of that sort. But by October, we knew the numbers were looking bad. And again, you had mentioned a 20 plus year, the biggest decline in over 20 years. And we just finished breaking down the numbers this past month by race and ethnicity, and they were even worse than what we saw in October for all students. Latinx students and African American students, the decline in enrollment at our community colleges, where two-thirds of those students go to school, declined by about a third. That's a huge decline, and I think what makes that quite problematic for Massachusetts is that these are the two groups, particularly Latinx students, that are actually growing in number and have been growing in number, given the overall population decline of high school to college age students. So it's troubling. We're very concerned. We're trying to ameliorate the situation. And, you know, in the conversation I had with Commissioner Riley, the elementary and secondary school commissioner, our big question was, is this a one-year decline? Are we looking at not only last year's seniors, but now this year's seniors? What about juniors? Maybe this is all a two or three years.
And what was the answer? I hope it was a good
answer. Well, the answer is we better find out pretty quick. And we have gotten guidance counselors on the phone, and a lot of people have been making calls to do get qualitative survey data. We still don't have the sort of end answer to that question, but we know it's deep. We also know, you know, data has indicated to us that if a student, you know, graduates from high school, plans to go to college, but doesn't go to college, that reduces over their lifetime the prospects of even going to college at all. So this could be, you know, I said it publicly, and I'm real concerned, this could be a lost generation, and Massachusetts cannot afford to lose more students given the overall decline in its population in a real knowledge-based economy.
Well, let me just ask you then. I mean, what is the broader implication then for our state economy? I mean, we all hope this is a one-off and not a whole lost generation, as you say. But if we see our college students or our potential college students, as the case may be, students who could go but are not able to because they're feeling squeezed right now, if they continue to struggle, what does that mean for the Commonwealth's economy?
Well, you know, we've seen the demographic decline for a number of years now. So we've been prepared for it. We've been directing programs to help these students. We know that, you know, the majority of students of color are located in our gateway cities and 50 high schools. So we have got a sense, and we've introduced a number of programs to try to remedy the situation over time. Early college programs, dual enrollment programs, a lot of different things have been put into place to make sure that students are more successful than ever. I would remind folks, you know, we took a closer look before COVID hit at, what are the barriers that students face, particularly students of color, and clearly affordability is one of them. But what we have found is that it's not the only indicator. And I often say that affordability for students is a necessary condition for student success, but it's not sufficient. And the sufficiency part of it is really around support services for these students. Many of them are first generation college going students. They come from families where no one else has gone to college, has very little information. You know, I talked about the FAFSA form. I mean, that's a tough document to fill out. Let me tell you, I've done it for three daughters. It's a tough document to fill out. And if you've never had experience with college and what it means and how to fill that complete that form, you're at a disadvantage. And what we have found that a lot of students, particularly students of color, have been at a disadvantage in terms of going to college and succeeding in college.
And that may be exacerbated during the pandemic, because if they're not at school in person, they may not have that, sort of hand-holding from a guidance counselor to help them through that. I do want to ask you about one bright spot in the data, though, Commissioner, when it comes to enrollment figures. You know, first-year Black and Latinx enrollment in the UMass system actually did rise slightly last fall, which is in contrast to that 30-plus percent drop-off at community colleges that you mentioned earlier. So why did UMass fare so much better, and what can we learn from that success?
Yeah, well, I think there are fewer of them in the UMass system. There are fewer students of color in our UMass system, and that's one of the reasons why it didn't fall off as much. And the students generally have somewhat higher incomes, and those are going to community colleges or even our state universities. So part of it is a reflection of differences in income levels. But one of the things that we're seeing that I am particularly troubled by is that, you know, we have seen over the last few years more what we call basic needs not being met for college students. We've seen more homelessness than ever before. We've seen food insecurity. All of our public institutions have food pantries. We have now we're seeing more evidence of mental health issues among students, and it's not unusual in given the environment in which we're living and the impact of COVID-19 on families, on communities, on work as well. So this is sort of a different world, I have a hard time imagining how a student that is homeless or hungry can really focus on being successful in school. I know they do. You know, the fascinating
sure,
thing
but
is
it's
some
hard.
Of the
and one of the challenges
do.
That I know that you brought up with our Max Larkin in a story for WBUR earlier this week was that some of those support services at community colleges may be the first things to go because the schools are trying, understandably, to preserve instruction. But
absolutely.
Those support services are important not only for the students but frankly for the bottom line, right? Because they help students stay in school and keep paying tuition.
That's absolutely right. And what we're finding is, you know, something we call case management, where students actually get direct support from a counselor of some type. And the issues that they deal with are, you know, go deal directly with school issues, with homework issues, with assignment issues, but also go beyond that, you know, with many of our, I think all of our institutions have these emergency funds. Where, you know, if a student gets a flat tire on the way to work, they may not have the money to replace that tire, and that may impact their likelihood of staying in school as well. We know that in these communities, a lot of the majority of our students in our community colleges are part-time students. They have been ravaged by the economic decline and many of the service jobs which many of them held that have disappeared. Over the last year. So it's there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of hurt in these communities, and we're going to do our best to get those students back on track and back into school.
Well, to that end, Commissioner, in the moment we have left, let me just ask you about some of the resources and efforts that your department is working on right now. I understand one, for example, is developing a summer college prep bridge program for high school mm-hmm. graduates who want to go to college. They may not have had the most robust education during the pandemic. So what can you tell us about that and any other things that you want to underscore?
Sure. Those programs like early college, like summer bridge programs are really effective. If a student that has had no experience with college, that has no one in the family that has been through college, can get a taste of college in an early college program and do well in those programs or a bridge program in the summer, the likelihood is they're going to go to college. They're going to go to college and they will succeed in college. And all the data suggests that as well. So we have to be more closely aligned with K-12 We have to be able to help those students make that transition from a high school to a college environment for them really to succeed.
All right. That's Carlos Santiago. He is the state's Commissioner of Higher Education. Commissioner Santiago, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Callum. Always appreciated.